There once were two brothers walking beside a river on a warm autumn's day. Pausing amongst the goldenrod and asters, the older of the two turned to his brother and said, "I know a great story. Would you like to hear it?"
"I would," said the younger brother.
"Okay, my great story is this. In the beginning, when above the skies had not been named, nor earth below pronounced by name, there were two gods, Apsu, the god of the fresh water, and Tiamat, the goddess of the salt waters. The two waters mixed together and formed a new generation of gods. The gods of earth and sky are fire and storm and many others. Now the younger gods were noisy and chaotic, which enraged Apsu, and his rage set off a great war amongst the gods. The war culminated with a great battle between Tiamat and her grandson, the storm god Marduk. Tiamat took the form of a sea dragon, and as she advanced to attack Marduk, the younger god unleashed a fierce wind into her mouth, a wind that forced its way into her belly and split her body apart. Marduk then took the cleaved pieces of her body to form the heavens and the earth. Order was established. Things were put in their proper place. Then, seeking comfort for himself and his fellow gods, Marduk created humans out of the blood of his fallen enemies. He created humans with the purpose of labor and service to the gods. Finally, Marduk took Babylon for his home, and he threw a great banquet, and the gods rejoiced in their supremacy over all of creation."
"Wow," said the younger brother. "That is indeed a very great story.
I have one as well. Would you like to hear mine?"
"Well, of course I would," said the older brother.
"In the beginning," said the younger brother, "when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God spent the next days creating the day and the night, separating the great waters and creating the sky and the dry land. God created the seed and the fruit and the tree. God created the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky. God created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the creatures of the land. And it was all very good. And then God looked out over all the created world and said, 'Let us make humankind in our image.' And God set them forth to be stewards, gardeners, caretakers with dominion and duty to care for all. And it was so. God saw everything that had been made, and indeed it was good. And then once the work had been done, God rested and rejoiced in this very good creation." The stories we tell matter. Stories allow us to convey information, describe history, to imagine what could be and disrupt what is. Stories also allow us to derive meaning and to make sense of the world. Often the stories we tell are personal. They are localized to a family or a friend group or a community. We tell bigger stories as well, great stories that pull back the lens to the scale of the very universe itself, how things got started, why things are the way they are. These great stories are also known as cosmology, a field of study that can have its basis in science, think the Big Bang Theory, but cosmology can also be based in a foundational myth of a certain people. Now, as myth, these stories are not meant to be taken literally, but rather they are meant to mediate meaning and transmit values from generation to generation. These origin stories reflect and reinforce what is important to a certain people. They are meant to inform how we, the hearer, should relate to each other and the world around us. They offer a lens through which to see the big questions of life, like, why are we here? The stories of the two brothers are the cosmological narratives of two ancient peoples. The older brother's story of the battle between Tiamat and Marduk is based on the Enuma Elish,
the creation story of ancient Babylon. And the younger brother's story, as I expect you know, is the creation story of our Hebrew ancestors found in the first verses of the book of Genesis. These were two competing and very different cosmologies of the ancient world. And out of them came two very different worldviews. A culture will be different if it views the world as either fundamentally good or as the aftermath of violence. Society will have different attitudes towards the use of power if people are seen as servants as opposed to stewards. People will have a different relationship to the divine if they see themselves as subjects to the whims of the heavens or as beloved children formed in the image of their creator. The stories we tell matter because they reveal how we see ourselves in relation to the whole, how we understand our relationship to God. The creation story in Genesis 1 is perhaps the most well-known of the cosmological tales found in the Bible, but it's certainly not the only one. There's the account of Adam and Eve in Genesis 2, the prelude to John's Gospel where the Word becomes flesh. There's the great cosmic battle in the book of Revelation. And as Doug read for us earlier, there's the story of creation found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is often attributed to King Solomon, he of fabled wisdom. But modern scholars tell us that this attribution is likely an honorary one. The sages who first began to collect and write the sayings and stories were counselors, bureaucrats, and teachers who served in the court and in the temple in the years after King Solomon's death. These were learned men, and therefore the creation story that they recorded reflected the worldview of the intellectual class of their time. In their cosmology, it was not visible light that was created first, but the light of understanding that was created first. It was wisdom that co-created the world. "The Lord created me," wisdom says, "at the beginning of his work. Then I was beside him like a master worker, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." This is an origin story that reflects and reinforces a worldview and a set of values that affirms the centrality of wisdom in creation. It is our ability to contemplate, to understand, to discern meaning that God delights in. Now, while the temple scribes say that it was wisdom that co-created the universe, we get yet another interpretation with our Colossians reading. Just as the book of Proverbs was likely written after King Solomon's death, the letter to the Colossians was probably penned by a disciple of Paul, not Paul himself. This was a time some 50 years after Jesus' death when Christians' teachings were starting to become more codified, more creedal. Jesus himself was becoming a more stable truth in the life of the community, a truth more focused on the metaphysical than the life and ministry of the human Jesus. This is the cosmic Christ. And according to the writer of Colossians, it was Christ that was firstborn of all creation. He was the co-creator of the universe. He was the deep wisdom through whom God delights in all humanity. As Richard Rohr puts it, we daringly proclaim that God's presence was poured into a single human being so that humanity and divinity can be seen operating as one in him, and through him we can see humanity and divinity operating in all of humanity. This is about seeing the holy in all people, regardless of belief or creed or color, seeing the holy in all of creation. This Christ-centered cosmology is meant to shape our worldview and guide our actions in a world brimming with Christ. Incarnation, God with us, we are not alone. This is our story. This is our great story. And throughout our history, ours has been a story told beautifully and authentically. And it has been a story that has been hijacked and corrupted. It is a story that has been weaponized to supersede, degrade, and wipe out other stories. The great tragedy of the Christian religion, I believe, is that it has been entangled with empire in all its past and current forms. In contorting Jesus' liberating message of love, into a way of control, to exclude and to make others feel less than human. As hard as it may be to acknowledge this tragedy, this failure, this is also part of our story. As you likely know, the United Church of Canada was one of the Christian denominations that operated Indian residential schools. These were institutions where children were abused. Their language and culture and spirituality were taken from them. Many died. These schools triggered an intergenerational trauma that continues to the present day. This is part of our story as well. And so today and tomorrow, we participate in what's known as Orange Shirt Day to remember the Indigenous children who went to and suffered under the residential schools program and acknowledge our part in past and ongoing trauma. The stories we tell are important. There were once two brothers walking beside a river on a warm autumn's day. After a time, they came across their grandmother sitting on a stone at the river's edge. "What are you two doing?" she called to them. "Telling great stories," they replied. And with her encouragement, they told them to her. "Those are indeed very great stories," she said. "I have one as well." The boy settled down at her feet, and the grandmother started her story. "She fell like a maple seed," the grandmother said, "pirouetting on an autumn breeze. A column of light streamed up from a hole in the sky world, marking her path where only darkness had been before. Hurtling downward, she saw only dark water below. But in that emptiness, there were many eyes gazing up at the sudden shaft of light. They could see that it was a woman, arms outstretched, black hair billowing behind as she spiraled towards them. The geese nodded at one another and rose together from the water in a wave of goose music. She felt the beat of their wings as they flew beneath to break her fall. She caught her breath at the warm embrace of soft feathers as they gently carried her downward. The geese could not hold the woman above the water for much longer, so they called a council to decide what to do. Loons, otters, swans, beavers, fish of all kinds. A great turtle floated in their midst and offered his back for her to rest upon. Gratefully, she stepped from the goose's wings onto the dome of his shell. The others understood that she needed land for her home and discussed how they might serve her need. The deep divers among them had heard of mud at the bottom of the water and agreed to go find some. Loon dove first, but the distance was too far, and after a long while he surfaced with nothing to show for his efforts. One by one, the other animals offered to help, but the depth and the darkness and the pressures were too great for even the strongest of swimmers. Soon, only little Muskrat was left, the weakest diver of them all. He volunteered to go when the others looked on doubtfully. His small legs flailed as he worked his way downward, and he was gone a very long time. They waited and waited for him to return, fearing the worst for their relative. And before long, a stream of bubbles rose to the surface with a small, limp body of the muskrat. He had given his life to aid this helpless human. But then the others noticed that his paw was tightly clenched. And when they opened it, there was a small handful of mud. Turtle said, "Here, put it on my back, and I will hold it." Moved by the extraordinary gifts of the animals, she sang in thanksgiving and began to dance. Her feet caressed the earth. The land grew and grew as she danced her thanks, from the little dab of mud on the turtle's back until the whole earth was made. Not by Sky Woman alone, but from the alchemy of all the animals' gifts, coupled with her deep gratitude. Together, they formed what we know today as Turtle Island, our home. this story, beautifully braided together by the indigenous writer Robin Wall Kimmerer, tells the origins of the world through the culture and tradition of the First Nations people around the Great Lakes. This story would have been told right here, far below, before our settler forebears ever arrived. It is the origin story of this land, and it speaks of kindness and solidarity and sacrifice and partnership with the natural world and deep, deep gratitude for life here in this place. I am a Christian. My own story is absolutely intertwined with the story of Jesus, who he was, what he said, what he did, and what it cost him. I look at the world and I see Christ everywhere. He fundamentally shapes how I live my life. His is a very, very great story. But a mature faith knows that just because we love and live our story does not mean we have nothing to learn from other stories. Hearing other stories can open up new perspectives, shed new light of understanding on our own stories. Being in relationship with other spiritual traditions allows us to deepen into our own. This is the heart of the ecumenical and multi-faith work that our United Church is committed to. And being in non-judgmental relationship with other spiritual traditions is a necessary step in reconciliation between the indigenous and non-indigenous peoples who share this land. The stories we tell matter. The stories of who we are and how things came to be, the stories of relationship and responsibility, of great cosmic beings and tiny muskrats with a paw full of soil. In the telling of our stories, we join them to the great story, the great and always unfolding story of God. In the telling of our stories, we join in the one story. And this is very, very good. Amen.